Awesome. Thank you so much, Shannon. Thanks too to Ed for setting us up so well this morning. Thanks to each of you, the 170-odd of us online this morning on this cold Johannesburg morning or wherever you connecting in from. What an opportunity we have to do something fresh, to be alive and well, and to be making sure that we are taking everything God has given us and still being effective. This is not a time to hold back, to shrink back, to say, we can't do anymore what we used to do, so we're going to give up. We are not those who shrink back. We are going to make sure that we immediately begin to say, we have a digital footprint, and we want to step up our digital footprint. We want to go beyond anything that we've ever been before. But before I get to start preaching just too much, let me just introduce myself. I'm fortunately not the oldest person in this picture. That's my dad in the background there, who's actually holding on for dear life in the last days of his life. We've been in and out of hospital in lockdown with him. But there's my wife, Debbie, next to my dad, my daughter, Ashley, my son in the foreground, Drew and Guvu, and just behind him, my oldest son, Keegan Wayne, who's probably hacking into this right now, seeing that that's his chosen profession. Yes, as Shannon said, I'm from Every Nation Rosebank for the last 15 years or so. Most of that time, about 13 of those years, I've been a full-time youth pastor. You cut me and I bleed youth ministry and always will. I actually saw on my side screen just now and a little icon popped up of Stuart Fisher, who happened to have stepped into my shoes and is knocking the ball out the park. Stuart, big up to you, bro. And you guys want to connect with someone that's a trailblazer, check him out. And so this is actually our staff. I'm tasked with the responsibility of ensuring there's a leadership development pipeline. I'm going to be speaking out of that context, but my heart is still very much youth. If you want to see what I've done in the last 3 decades of my life, then simply pop across to the website that I run called the Youth Ministry Resourcer. You'll drown because there's so much stuff, but maybe begin on the programs page and you'll see the strategy we've used at Encounter Youth of engage, establish, equip, and power is there with everything that's ever been done. So that's ymresourcer.com. If you're interested in that, you'll never pay for anything there. It's all free. And so ymresourcer.com, it's my last work, I guess. The internet was designed to be free, and let's keep it that way. You will also find, for the rest of this my session here, and loads of extra resources have all been put into a Google Drive folder for you. Just jump across to bit.ly/GenC2020. Make sure you get the capitalization right there. The very first presentation in that folder is Digital Footprint, which is what I'll be taking you through this morning in between our 3 breakaway groups and what I'm going to be sharing with you all. And there's a lot of other resources in there that I've created or stolen from others that are there for your use. And so my challenge to you firstly is to embrace the digital revolution. There's been a number of revolutions, and we're in the 4th revolution, if you don't know. We've had the printing press. We're into the digital era, and it's our time now to really knock it out the park. We weren't doing such a good job, but lockdown has forced us to go on another level. This is the chart that I've been keeping with all the stats from the South Africa virus from the start in March. New way. We need to socially distance. You know that overnight our churches went into almost a crisis response where our sanctuaries were used for more or less nothing more than reaching out to the poor. And all of you are probably doing online worship. You're probably doing online sermons. I'm sure you're facilitating online prayer, online small groups, online conferences like this one. We're having ours next weekend, the 30th and the 31st of May. And so I'm going to pause it right there. and I'm going to throw you into your discussion groups for the next 5 minutes. What is your ministry currently doing online? So do a bit of a confront the brutal facts, look at what you're doing, and then you'll come back and we'll take it further. So question number one, what is your ministry currently doing online? Henning is going to send you into... Guys are coming back from small groups. Trust that that was a really, really awesome time. You've begun to think through what is it that you have been doing. Some of this could have been stuff that you've done for a long time in the past. Some of it could be stuff that you've begun to do. And we want to make sure that whatever we're doing, that we are using the tools that we have at our disposal. It's no good being part of this digital revolution and then not actually making the most of it. So I want to encourage you, secondly, to expand your digital presence. So far, I've had you look at where you're at. What am I currently doing? I want to challenge you now that it's time to go beyond. Firstly, it's time to do old things even better. It's time to look at everything. And I don't know what your list of things were that you're doing. Worship, sermons, prayer, team meetings, givings, caring. I was the host of our lead pastor's birthday Zoom call the other day with 40 people, and it was about a two-hour engagement of prophetic words over him and speaking into his life. And it was new. It was different. And it worked. How are our small groups doing? Are we being creative? Are we doing old things better? So that's the first point here. But secondly, in this section, I want to challenge you to start doing new things. Maybe things you haven't done before. I want to push you in two areas and do a little bit of show and tell of some things I've been doing over the last year or two. I want to talk about training for understanding and coaching for implementation. When we equip people. Remember Ed in his session ended by saying and referencing Ephesians chapter 4 that it is our job as leaders, as pastors, to equip people. And I want to talk about training. And maybe in the church we would call it more disciple making. We might call it equipping for leadership. But it's this idea that I want to help someone move to the next level. One of the leadership levels that I'm responsible, we have a four-step leadership pipeline, and one of those levels is called Leadership 215. It's actually based on 2 Timothy 2:15, and in this module, there are 12 modules, 12 units to be studied, and every one of these modules has 12 subsections in it, and the students enrolled in Leadership 2 and 5 did not miss a beat when lockdown happened because we had already transitioned to a digital platform. It's called Pathright. It's an international system. And here's what happens in their studies, excuse me, for every module. Firstly, they read. They have a student manual for every one of the modules. I've actually put this module, this whole unit, into that Google Drive folder that I mentioned earlier. So they download and they read. Secondly, they watch or listen, depending on their bandwidth, depending on the amount of data they have. And so they would click on a video for that module, or they would listen to the audio for that part of the section. And then there would be a number of questions that they would need to answer. Questions like, for example, which of the following are unbiblical teachings? Remember, they're studying the Trinity here. So there was a time when only the Father existed. The Son and the Spirit are less divine than the Father. Spirit is no less divine than the Son, the Father. And the Son became divine at his baptism. There's about four or five questions like this. It all references the material. Then they begin to reflect. There will be three questions like this. This one's about analogies of the Trinity, of how they're adequate or inadequate with shortcomings. And what will happen after that is they're guided into prayer. And then they will have an opportunity to provide feedback. And this is where it gets exciting. I'm then on the receiving end as the administrator of this course, and I will then make sure that I'm reading through their work and I'm commenting. They sometimes get more back from me what they send me, but it's this idea that we need to be interactive. And so that's just to make sure that you are taking training beyond just dumping information and data onto people. Secondly, I spoke about coaching for implementation. The moment we need to be able to take people to use something they have, we need to start engaging with them. I do a lot of coaching via Google Hangout. Here is our administrator and our lead pastor's wife. I have 10 staff members at the moment that I'm coaching. There's a coaching group set up via WhatsApp, and there I can share information. I can ask questions, engage with them. And then finally, what I do in terms of coaching is I've made use of Google Classroom. I don't know if you've smudged into that recently. I'm going to give you a very short heads up in terms of what I do to mirror what I created in a book called The Productive Life. And you'll actually get the whole book in this program on Google Classroom. So there happens to be 7 keys. For every section, there's an overview with a video to preview. There's the text from the book, from that chapter. There is content that they will engage with, whatever the subpoints are in the heart of that chapter. Then there's a PowerPoint presentation for them to view. Then there are some questions and activities that they reflect on. And finally, I link them to a podcast. So this is what the engagement looks like. So here they're defining their mission. What do they want to be? Their lifetime none. What can they do to engage with people? And then who do they want to impact, etc. So they submit that. They get the email version of that back to themselves. And there's the reflection questions that they need to answer along the way as well. So I want to give you free access to that. It's a self-guided class. Don't feel like it's going to have to happen in the next month or something. You will get the whole book in that as well. That's the code you need. It's in the presentation that you're going to download. There's also my book, which is online on Amazon. I've set it to 99 cents or US less than a dollar just for the next few days. If you want to grab that, you don't have to buy it, because you can cut and paste that if you're in that Google Classroom. And so that is what you can do to coach people online. So what are you doing that you can do better? And particularly, what are you not doing among the next generation that you can start doing in the online digital place beyond just using WhatsApp and social media? So I'm going to release you back into your small groups now, and I'll see you in 5 minutes. Guys are starting to come back from small groups. System is feeding you back in. Big ups for technology. Zoom doing its thing today. We're working at pushing it to the next level. So guys, I trust that was a really significant time. I trust that you began to think about, firstly, what you're doing that can be done better. And you do know we're merely starting the discussion today. This is by no means the end of the discussion around this. And then secondly, what are you not doing that you can start doing? What is still ahead and for you? And I want to continue in that vein, but let me remind you 2 things. One, this whole session, the conference, has been recorded, so you'll have access to that. So don't worry if you miss something. Don't forget that all of the resources I've made available are in bit.ly/GenC2020. So that's available as well for you. And just know that the leaders are here to answer any questions. If you've missed something, please just shout. And so the final part of the session that I'm leading on how to step up your digital footprint is to enhance your digital impact. It's one thing to have a presence online, but you know that if that's meaningless and not significant or not available to people, it's going to count really for nothing. And I want to just say 3 things. Call this the triple A. Firstly, make it accessible. We learned very quickly when lockdown hit that data is unequally distributed across our audience. Not everyone has the kind of fiber connection I have in my home, or maybe what even you have in your home. And we have to make allowances for that. It kind of echoes what Paul says back in 1 Corinthians 9, where he said, I become all things to all people. It's no good only being something to one group of people. And I'll be showing you an example of how we've pushed WhatsApp to its nth degree to be able to deliver stuff to as vast an audience as possible. So make it accessible. Make sure anyone can access it. Secondly, make it attractive. Aesthetics do count when it comes to learning. What I see, what I engage with. Remember when Ed spoke about digital narratives, there's a lot that they are doing, that you're doing at the same time, and know that you have to pull them in and you need to get and keep attention and focus. And if it doesn't look great, it's not going to make for good learning and people are going to click elsewhere. And thirdly, make it active. Ensure that it's active stroke interactive. It's not enough to just send out a 20-minute video and think that's going to transform lives. We need to engage. You've probably heard about the Edgar Dell cone of experience. It's become known as the cone of learning. It mirrors a little bit Bloom's taxonomy as well. But the heart of this from Edgar Dell in 1946 was the triangle itself, because the tip of the triangle, if in terms of effectiveness, is to read something, then to listen or hear, then to see pictures, then to watch a video, and then to see something done by others. In other words, watching, it's still passive, and then participating in a discussion, which you've been doing along the way, then also getting out and giving a talk. You know that when you speak, you learn so much. And then simulating the real experience and doing the real thing. And obviously you remember different amounts on each of those. So let me give you an example of something that we've done for the first of our four leadership modules, that of Leadership 115. Let me say it's all about character development, and it's a year program, and we have 40 leaders enrolled in it at the moment. And we would have a live session once a month on a Thursday. And the moment lockdown happened, we began to brainstorm how we could move it to a digital platform, realizing that many people don't have bandwidth. So to record a high definition video might be great, but let's begin to rethink it. And so I'm going to walk you through each step, but it's a welcome, a greeting, instructions, prayer, an intro message that is either listened to, watched, or read, depending on bandwidth. Then there comes another teaching, then an activation where journaling takes place, then a question and answer section, I'll show you what that looks like, and then an activation again in their journals, prayer, and some homework, which we follow up throughout the week. So this is what, if you were on this 1 hour WhatsApp, you would have seen. Everyone had a chance to give a thumbs up. Then we gave announcements. We actually started the announcements early that afternoon, but we reminded them now. We opened in prayer. We gave an overview for the evening, which was going to be delivered in a video or an audio or a text. You know that you can only have a 64 megabyte video, the audio, or they could read the text. Then we previewed the night. We tell them that it's about dealing with soul issues and godliness as that related. There was another teaching actually from our lead apostle's wife and one of our pastors, Pastor Nicola, and she gave a teaching. And again, you could watch, listen, or read. Then came activation time, 3 minutes to complete a task based on a question that had been asked. Then we moved into the interactive, engaging part of the night, dealing with my shadow. We looked at David first, David and his soul issues. I had set up this juxtaposition between David and Joseph. You'll see it rolled out now. 3 questions were asked about David, a question, and students could post. And it was overwhelming, the number of responses to why do you think the temptation was tough. Then what factors helped David get defeated by temptation? Go, and they interacted, engaged. What did David do when he was tempted? Bam, they continued. We then said, okay, we're moving on to Joseph. Read the story like they had done with David. Same thing again. Question, same questions, just with a different character. What factors helped him have victory? What did he do when he was tempted? Etc. We then had a wrap up to say we're not just dealing with sexual temptation, even those two stories were about sexual temptations. Then they had a 5-minute time in their journals that we had given them at the beginning of the year. Finally, we have what's known as a prayer of consecration. They could either listen to it or they could read it in WhatsApp. And finally, we gave them an alert to their homework for the coming week. And so I trust that when you are engaging online with your high schoolers, that you are making it as engaged. Remember, it needs to be accessible, attractive, and active. Let me remind you, don't forget to jump back into the Google Classroom, because you can set up this engagement with your high schoolers, with your youth, with adults in your congregation through Google Classroom. It's obviously totally free and it's a great opportunity. There's the code in case you missed it earlier. So don't forget, make your teaching, your coaching, your training, make your online offerings accessible to everyone. Make them attractive and make them active. So you're going to head off again into your groups, and I want you to ask each other, what can you do to be more interactive and more effective? How can you make sure that it's not a one-way communication? How are you pulling in? I was watching our leaders. Asher, who's on this call, was engaging with people this weekend. I watched Drew in a Connect group with Stuart actually being asked and pulled into interaction. And they were doing puzzles at one point. They were looking up scriptures. They were engaging. And as a dad of a high schooler, I put my thumb in the air and I thought, you know what? That's incredible active learning. So good up to all you guys doing amazing stuff. There you go. Zoom's going to take you back into your groups. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're starting to make your way back from the small group time. Yep, ridiculously short amount of time to engage today. But there is some news. We're hatching a plan. You're going to be told about it in 2 weeks' time to be together again. I'll be able to engage more relaxed, more fully. You'll have more time to engage. We're going to be working on stuff together. So in that time, and I have about 30 seconds before I'm handing you back to Shannon, you began to say, can we do everything we do digitally more effective and more interactive? Can we make sure that what we're doing is as live and engaging and as interactive as possible? And even for us as conference presenters or organizers today, we want to get better at what we do. And I know the organizers are going to ask you, hey, make sure that you share feedback so we can all grow and learn. I want to just close by saying that you probably know that in the Chinese word crisis, there's a combination of two symbols. Danger, opportunity. And yes, this pandemic is dangerous. I started with that chart that's going in the wrong direction. But there's opportunity here. And I think God is nudging us to begin to engage more deeply with ourselves, more deeply with others in brand new ways. There's huge opportunities, not just for lockdown, but for the future, to make sure that what we're doing is going to reach more and more people. I mean, I've had WhatsApp messages during this session I've been presenting from a pastor in Cape Town who's been online with us to leaders in another suburb not far away from here. And I know that this is going to ultimately go around the world. Let's begin to think more broadly of our church community, our congregation, our parish, and make sure that we are stepping up our digital footprint. So guys, huge thank you that I've been able to share with you today, and I'm going to send you back to Shannon to take you further.